If you would, take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of Acts. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 1 here in just a moment. A few months ago, I'm used this opening illustration that I'm going to use today as we looked at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and we looked at our church's responsibility in reaching our world. And today I'm going to use this same opening as we begin our study of how God moved to begin his church throughout the book of Acts. See, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. So somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Jesus said, as he was walking on his earth, he said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And everybody knows that he's talking about somebody else. As we look at this passage this morning, as we look through the book of Acts here over the next several weeks, I want us to consider what our role is, not just as individuals, but as a role as the church in reaching our world with the gospel of Jesus. See, we at Boyd Avenue, we are very blessed here at our church. I'm not sharing this message in this series about our role in reaching the world for Christ because I don't think our church is doing stuff. We have a very healthy, good church. We are blessed here. We have great people, you. You are great people. We have wonderful people in our congregation. We have fantastic facilities. God has blessed us with a church staff that loves people. We have strong ministries in our church, and we have really talented, gifted people leading ministries in our church. I believe that Boyd Avenue has a heart for reaching people and a heart for service. But with all of this that God has blessed us with comes great responsibility. Because in all of this, it is never about us. It is always about who God is, and it is always about seeing the world through his eyes and seeking his heart and asking, what would God have us to do? And so are we doing all that God would have us to do? With all that God has blessed us with, are we being good stewards of what God has given us? And this will be our challenge as we look throughout the summer and we walk through sections of Acts as we see God progressing his church and using people to do that. And we're going to begin that here this morning at the beginning of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, as Jesus is leaving, he begins this movement of his church by this command to his disciples. It says, "So when they come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or epochs, which a father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth.' And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" Sometimes it is easy for us to lose focus. Not that we focus necessarily on things that are bad, but sometimes we just don't focus on the right thing. So Jesus is getting ready to ascend. He's leaving. And the disciples, they want to have, as Jesus is leaving, they want to have this theological conversation with Jesus concerning matters of eschatology. What they're saying is, "Hey, God, Jesus, can we talk about this kingdom, Lord? Now, is this a time that you're going to restore your kingdom?" And notice in this passage that Jesus doesn't necessarily rebuke them for asking what really isn't a bad question. But his response to them, it indicates that there was something more important. There was a better question that they could have asked. His response reveals that the better question is this: "Jesus, I know you're coming back. You're going to restore your kingdom. What should we do until you come and establish your kingdom?" See, and this is foundational. What we're seeing here is, what is the purpose of church? And we ask that question sometimes, what is the purpose of church? And people have all different kinds of opinions and thoughts on why we have church. What's the purpose? Is church about fellowship, right? Why do we have church? Because fellowship. We want to come together, and we want a church that people love each other and how important that is. Is church about worship? Is the purpose of church that we're a place we can come and we can sing songs to the Lord and we study God's Word together and we have this time of worship? Sometimes people think church is a safe place from the world, and so we have a place where believers can come together and we can have a safe community away from the world. I was very involved in Baptist collegiate ministries for a long time, and it was actually started so that Baptist Christians on campuses could have a safe place to go so they could avoid the world. And thankfully, it turned into something different than that as they reached the world. Is the purpose of church a place to come that we can gain Bible knowledge, that we can come and study God's Word and become more intelligent and smarter on things of the Bible? What is it? Is church for us? Is church for our community, or is it completely different than that? And so to these questions, Jesus provides a very definite answer in verse 8. He says, "Be my witnesses." Then everything else we do as a church, it must be done with this in mind. We are to be his witnesses. And I wonder sometimes, if that wasn't the purpose, then when we became a believer in Christ, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, why doesn't he just take us into heaven? You know, hey, you're good, you've accepted Christ, I'm just going to bring you to myself. No, because he has a purpose for us still here. And that purpose is that we are his witnesses on this earth, our priority, and we need to know our priority. In our junior high class for years, Ed and Charlotte taught junior high, and every kid that came through their 6th, 7th, 8th grade years knew this theme verse that they had in this class. And this theme passage, it came from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36 through 39, where it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." We look at the purpose, and we look at this idea of being witnesses. We are to love God, and we are to love people, and it should shape everything else that we do. You know, you go through the Old Testament, and you have all these laws, right? And the Jews had all these laws, and they couldn't keep all these laws. And you read them, and you're like, man, how could they? And then Moses went to the mountain, and he came back with 10 commandments, right? 10. Only 10 things, and they can't keep 10 things. And so Jesus simplified it and says, love God, love people. And we say, that's still too hard. We still struggle with that. But this is what it boils down to, is this idea of ministry, loving, caring about people. Disciples, they were focused on Jesus setting up his kingdom. And Jesus says this focus is misdirected. Although it was important, it wasn't the most important thing at this time. And what are some things that we lose focus on? We lose our focus of mission while focusing on things that are less important. There are many things even in church that distract us. As we, as a church, try to figure out what we're supposed to do and how we're to be his witnesses, sometimes things like church budgets distract us. Sometimes we look at a budget and we say, well, God, I don't know if I can do this because we have this budget. Or God, I know this ministry is good, but we don't have a line item for that. God, how are we supposed to do this in our budget? And sometimes we're distracted by things like that. Sometimes we're distracted by our church programs. You know, we have programs set up, and if it doesn't fit into some program we do, God, how are we supposed to do that? Sometimes we have these theological disagreements, and we say, well, we get distracted. We're going to argue about these theology things, and we lose focus the fact we're supposed to be his witnesses. Sometimes ministry strategies distract us. We have all of these different kinds of things. And there are good things, and there are bad things that can distract us. Was it okay for the disciples to discuss God's kingdom? Probably. I mean, Jesus spent a lot of time talking about his kingdom. Why was it wrong here? Because it wasn't supposed to be the focus. And we need to know that as well. I find it interesting that there are times that Christians, they want to appear somehow superior spiritually, that they forget their mission. They spend some time trying to figure out how I can look so much more spiritual than other people. They forget who we're supposed to be. My dad went to a church that always talked about the end times, right? Jesus is coming in your lifetime. And that was the whole message. And my dad has been dead for a very long time, and I really hope Jesus didn't come back, because we're all still here, right? So we can get lost on these things. And I remember having a conversation with somebody, and they told me, they said, man, I know all these other things are important, but I just really enjoy deep spiritual debates. And I know that God would have other things, but deep spiritual debates, intelligent debates, is what I want to have. And I remember thinking, dude, there's nothing intelligent coming out of your mouth. I don't think you enjoy intelligence as much as you think that you do, right? What are you doing? Because really, if we want to talk about a deep, theological, intelligent conversation, let's talk about how we're taking this message and how we're impacting people with God's message, not just talking about stuff. To have a ministry worldview, we have to focus on the right things, right? The church exists to be the witness to the world. And we see this as empowered by the Holy Spirit. As you read Acts, as in this first part, you might have on your Bible Acts, and it might say something under it like Acts of the Apostles. And some people say, look, Acts, this is about what the apostles did. And I've heard some people say, well, they really shouldn't title it Acts of the Church, because it's the Acts of God establishing His church. But if you want to give it a great title, man, this is Acts of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit empowering His people, empowering the disciples, empowering people, empowering the church to carry out that mission of being witnesses to the world. And so in verse 8 it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Buddha, he lived about 500 years before Jesus. He exemplified a good way of life, and it was known as the Noble Eightfold Path. A wheel of eight spokes, and these eight things were, you'd have a correct view of knowledge, correct intention to resist evil. You should have correct speech, not saying anything that would hurt others. Correct action, respecting life, morality, and others. A correct vocation, a job that does not hurt others. You should have correct effort to do what is right. Correct mindfulness, to learn to control your thoughts. A correct concentration, that you focus on things that are good. Buddha said, don't do to others what you would not want them to do to you. And he taught that nirvana could only be attained when you broke all attachments with worldly things and you kept these eight things. Less than 100 years before Buddha, there was a Chinese philosopher named Confucius who taught that high moral character, which he called the gentleman, taught that you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others. Both of these men wanted to point us to living and doing a good life. But neither Confucius nor Buddha could offer you any power or any ability to walk that path. They have no ability to do that. Jesus not only points us to the right path to go, not only does he tell us how to do it, he promises us that he, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, would give us the power to do what he is asking us to do. See, God gave us the power to do ministry. God gave us the desire to do ministry. And God gives us the ability to do ministry. And God is already doing ministry. And he says, in this power and desire and ability, come join me where I am. And I remember this playing out in my life as a college student. I walked into a college ministry, man, a completely messed up young man. I had absolutely no business doing ministry. And for some reason, God said, Ed, I want you to do ministry. He gave me power to do something that I didn't have the ability to do. I had a plan for my life, right? Sarah said that she wishes that God would just have given her this plan, right, at GLS. I had a plan. I was going to teach and I was going to coach. I was going to do some kind of sports, maybe stuff like that. I mean, that was my plan, right? I had a great plan. As long as sports were involved, it was my plan. Right? And it was a good, nothing wrong with the plan, but God gave me a different desire. Different desire. And as I started thinking about this idea of youth ministry, and somebody said, Ed, you should do youth ministry. And I said, I can't do youth ministry because I don't sing or play the guitar. And every youth minister that I know sang or played guitar, so I can't do that. But God began to give me a desire, and then there was this little church 20 miles from campus that was just starting it, a mission church. And they were looking for somebody to come help and start investing in some of the teenagers in their community. And I saw God working, and God just moved me to a place that he was working there. God gives us the ability to do that. In Acts, we see the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of people. Throughout the books, at Acts 2:4, we see Pentecost. We see Peter boldly proclaiming this message. In Acts 4:8, it says that Peter, he with boldness, with the Jewish authorities, he proclaimed the message. In Acts 4:31, he preached with boldness. You see this play out in Peter's life? The same Peter that when Jesus was arrested, that was hiding, that denied Jesus, this same Peter that said, let's go fishing, is the same Peter that's preaching with boldness as God moved in his life. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, we see him go to an Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit moves him, and he visits with him, and he asks this Ethiopian eunuch, he says, do you understand what you're reading? He was reading Isaiah, a section of Isaiah, and he says, how do I know unless someone tell me? How do I know unless someone guides me? What a great lesson. Right? And Philip says, let me tell you about this Jesus. And we see the Holy Spirit empowering him to do that. In Acts 13, we see the Spirit leading Saul, who becomes Paul and Barnabas, leading them into ministry. And in Acts 20, we see the Holy Spirit calling pastors and leaders in the church of Ephesus. And we can go on and on and on about the Spirit empowering people in ministry. The Spirit is active in your life. The Spirit is active in the lives of the people that we minister to. As we are here in this church, as we look at being his witnesses, God is already working in places, and he's inviting us to join him, where he's at. If you are a believer today, God has gifted you for service. He has gifted you differently than he has gifted me. He has gifted you uniquely for what he would have you to do. We make up the church of a bunch of different people, all uniquely gifted, different, to do what God has called us to do collectively. We are here for a purpose. God has prepared us for these aspects of ministry. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die on a cross and pay the penalties for sins. And in our collective abilities and our talents and our giftedness, this is the message that we're called to share. This is what we're supposed to do. Jesus didn't send us on a mission to tell people how religious we are. Our mission is to go tell people how religious we are, because we are all just sinners who have fallen short. And we the message is that you need the gospel of grace. You know, gospel, the grace of Jesus. He doesn't send us on a mission to tell people what a good church we have, right? Hey, come to Boyd Avenue. We're a great church. Come to Boyd Avenue. We have all these things here. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called to go tell people what a great church we have. And the truth is, as good as a church we have, really, how good are we? Because we're all made up of a bunch of sinners, right? How good are we? Really, the message that people need to hear is not how good of a church we are, is that we serve a good God who loves us and sent Jesus to pay a penalty for our sin. Jesus is the most important message. As we look at going into our school systems and proclaiming, the message our students need to hear is that Jesus offers salvation. See, when we go into places like True Care, the message the ladies at True Care need the most is the message of Jesus. Those that are in the rescue mission that are struggling with things in life, the thing they need to know the most is that there's a God who loves them and a God who can provide for them. That Jesus' love is the message that all people need to hear. When we go to places like Haiti and Calgary, and we have missionaries go to Kenya, everybody needs something. And the greatest thing they need is this message of Jesus. The Bible says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why God sent Jesus into the world. That's why he died on a cross. So we can have forgiveness of sin, that we can repent and turn away from our sin. And he offers us forgiveness. And Jesus will come into our lives. The Holy Spirit of God will come to live in your life. Give us eternal life and direct our path. And this is the commission from the verse where Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses. Even though we can say we are doing some great ministry in a variety of places, are we doing all that we can to make sure that everyone hears this message? in all that we do, in all the programs, in everything we do as a church, are we making sure that people hear this message of salvation? See, there's a big picture here is Jesus says you will receive power and the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to remotest parts of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts. This is the scope of our mission. We are to share the message with all of these places. Jesus said each one of these four distinct places he mentions here, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where they were at. This is where they lived. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait to receive power from the Spirit. And when you do so, begin witnessing right where you are. Our place to proclaim, to be witnesses, is right where we are, in our Jerusalem, in our home, the place that we work, with the people that are closest to us, right where we are. And then Jesus says, go to Judea. The disciples weren't to stay in Jerusalem, and neither are we. We're to go to Judea, not the places around us. Ministry that impacts people and not normally in our traffic patterns. This might mean that we look beyond our community, maybe beyond our city, in our state, to where God is working, to find places he's at and say, God, how can we, as individuals and as a church, how can we join you in working in these places? And you have Samaria, man, these Samaritans, they were Jews that were left behind during the deportation, and these Jews intermarried with Gentiles. And when the deported Jews came back, they found these mixed breeds here, and they were looked down upon. These were people that were impure. They weren't really Jews, and no self-respecting Jew would have anything to do with a Samaritan. And Jesus said, go there too. Man, are there people groups that our church culture says they're not acceptable? Man, you should have nothing to do with those people. You should avoid them at all costs. And Jesus says, you are to be my witnesses to them too. And then from there, to the uttermost parts of the earth, to go wherever God leads, laying aside prejudices and go tell about a God who loves them and about a God who wants them to realize that there is no sin outside of forgiveness. There is no one outside of the ability to be forgiven and brought into the kingdom of God. And we have a responsibility to see to it that everyone has the opportunity to hear and respond to the Lord's message of salvation. I believe we can apply this command here simply as this. Start where you are. Reach somewhere where you're not. Go to another state or place, language, people group different from you, and then keep going as far as God leads you to go. In Acts, God began his church to intentionally reach from Jerusalem to the world. You see, Acts, the beginning, they started in Jerusalem. And then in chapters 8 through 12, we see the message beginning to go to Judea. And in chapters 8 through 12, we see also the movement to Samaria. And then we see the remotest parts throughout the rest. The disciples initially, as they got this message, they had no interest in worldwide missions. They got this message and they focused right where they were. They became inward focused, so inward focused where they were that the church of Jerusalem eventually died out. And it was the great church of Antioch that we're going to study later that God used to move the message into the world. God had to break down barriers and force people outside. He had to bring persecution to his church to get people to do what he commanded them to do. So church, we need to be intentional about reaching people for Jesus. We need to continue asking ourselves if we are doing all that we can to share the gospel with Casper. Are we connected to ministries in our state with the intentions of sharing the hope of Jesus? What partnerships in our country and around our world do we need to seek out? Do we need to focus? We need to see what God is doing, to pursue, to see where God will have us to spread the news. What role do we need to play? See, our church does some things really well. I am so thankful to be the pastor of Boyd Avenue Baptist Church. We built this new building across the street for the purpose of reaching into our community. And we all know the struggles of the building and the upkeep and the debt and all those kind of things. Let me just share with you a little bit about what God has been doing over the past 6 months. Our person who does our scheduling, she shared this at our business meeting. Over the past 6 months in our building, we've had 10 private events, 5 college ministry events, 25 outreach events, CPR, hunter safety, moms groups, 10 or more homeschool events, 37 basketball events, 55 times upward basketball met in our buildings, 20 extra church activities like youth and kids and youth evangelism conference showers, Valentine's banquets, and many more. So in that time, the last 6 months, approximately 162 events have happened in our buildings over the last 6 months. I remember doing long-range planning years ago, and we talked about we want our buildings to be used. And they sat used 2 days a week, 162 times. Only about 20 days have our buildings not been used in the last 6 months. See, our church is involved in our community. We are involved in things like True Care and the Rescue Mission and Child Evangelism Fellowship and Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Youth for Christ and many, many others. We have an extension of our church in Midwest, a little town 45 minutes from here. We are involved in ministry on our college campus at Casper College and involved in other places. We are involved in ministry in places like Dallas and Haiti and Canada. And we even sent somebody off to Kenya as part of our ministry. And we hear this message, we have a choice to make. We can hear this message and we can look at all the things that we do as a church and we can pat ourselves on the back and we can say, man, we got it. We're doing it. Man, we're good. We could do that. Or we can hear this message and say, God, we are striving to do what you have us to do, but God, are we doing all you called us to do? What else do you have for us? Where do we go next? What would you have us to do? See, the disciples, they heard this message, and as Jesus ascended, what did they do? They looked up. As Jesus went in the clouds, and the angel says, why are you looking? Jesus is coming back. And you ask the question, is this the time? And Jesus says, don't worry about the time. In the meantime, be my witnesses. And too many times, we are standing around watching what other people are doing, when God is saying, be my witnesses. Right? I believe that God has purpose and he's given you abilities. He's given you talents. He has gifted you to do ministry. And God has things. I think there are things that Boyd Avenue should be doing. I don't know what they are, but there are things that Boyd Avenue should be doing because there are people in our church that have calling on their life and giftedness in their life. And we need to help each other to find what that is and empower people to do ministry and serve, letting them know that the Holy Spirit has given you that power. And so this morning, I want to invite you, yes, be encouraged that we have a church that's on mission, but to seek out what God would have for you to help us be the church that God would have us be moving into the future as we continually serve him.